Alrighty, we're going to be in James chapter 3 this morning. I was preparing the message for this morning and this evening, and the Lord just really spoke to my heart. I originally was going to try to take verses 1 through 12 of James chapter 3, and then I started studying and it started shrinking. So we went from verses 1 through 12, and then I was like, maybe we can make verses 1 through 8. You know, be the message for this evening. And I kept studying. We're just going to look at the first two verses this morning. And then we're going to hopefully, Lord willing, see verses 3 through 8 this evening. But if you could stand with me in the honor of God's word, James chapter 3. We'll be getting our reading in verse 1. James writes, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body." It's going to be a fun Father's Day message today. We're not talking about a father, but something that everybody, I think every Christian can learn something about this morning. And the title of the message this morning is, "What Does Your Mouth Tell About You?" Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I'm just coming before your throne one last time, Lord, just to ask for your help. Just ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and your guidance, Lord, that I would say what you want me to say, that you would be honored in everything that is said and done, Lord. Just ask that we all have open hearts and open ears to receive your word. Just know I pray. Amen. So James is here writing to help believers mature. It was kind of part of James's thrust of this letter. He starts this way in chapter 1. We went over with the teens back in May, and actually this past Tuesday we took verses 1 through 8. So we've been looking there and how that even when trials are come, God can use them to mature us, and to so much so that we can find joy. And that same maturity needs to know where to ask wisdom for in those trials, and that's God. So James, though, has this idea of the believer here that he's writing to grow in maturity and wisdom on how to handle life, the Christian life predominantly. And we find James wanting them to grow and to become the Christians that they are supposed to be. And the next step, and one of the steps in that in James's letter, is how the use of the tongue. Our tongue has a part of everything in our life. And what do we mean by the tongue? It's a muscular organ in our mouth. We taste with it. We talk with it. We bite it when we're not paying attention while we're eating food. You know, it's part of one of our senses that God's given us. But James isn't necessarily talking about food here. Though the other passages do. Rather, James is talking about our speech, and not just foul language, but how we use our words altogether. And the reason I want to lead with this morning is because we might be able to make application as we go, kind of lay some groundwork so that we're all on the same page. Because I don't want anybody, and some of this is for me, and then some of this is for you guys. I don't want anybody to think, oh, I don't have a problem with cursing. Let's just put this on autopilot. We're already done singing with Sunday's message. I can start thinking about lunch or where we're going for lunch, you know, as I'm tempted to do. But rather, our speech as a whole, James is dealing with here. And these first two verses in particular is actually about teaching. The word there, "My brethren, be not many masters." That word "masters" there has the idea of sought-after, prestigious title of a teacher. You would find in Paul's letter this was a common goal for a lot of people to want to be recognized, to have a following, to have people looking to them for wisdom and guidance, and to teach the newest philosophy. We would even find that even in the churches that Paul would write to, they would say, one would say, "I'm after Paul," and one "Apollos," and then some said, "After Jesus," you know, and all the New Testament world was filled with trying to find the next great teacher. And James here is writing to them, expressing a desire to be in a place of authority isn't necessarily a wrong thing, but they had they had to have the quality to be in that position, a quality that is very important, or else you won't be able to handle it and you won't have control. You can more easily cut people down, and that is the area of your tongue. See, God has leadership qualities that he does not lower for anybody, and that's one of them is the control of the tongue. There is qualifications in Timothy and Titus for a pastor, and one in that idea is there is the idea that we must be in control of what we say and what we do. James is here is trying to make sure that we have control of our tongue, and we're going to see tonight in verses 3 through 8 how deadly it is. Even if you want to just take a quick look at verse 8, it says, "But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, fully of deadly poison." James understood the power of words. And that's why we must be in control of our tongue, because it's a powerful thing. And James isn't saying here that the desire to be a teacher or to be in a place of authority is a wrong thing. God's given some people the gifts and the ability and the desire to be able to lead people and to be in the place to be a good leader. I think of George Washington or even Pastor Tad, just different men that God has equipped along the way to do great things for his people. But all that being said, there's still the necessity of having control of our tongue. But the thing is, this morning, I think you know where I'm going to go with this. It's not leadership alone that needs to control their tongue, but rather all Christians. See, James isn't just writing to those that are in authority. He's writing to those that are simply have the desire to be, and or have the desire to be a teacher, the desire to instruct. And you might say, well, I don't even have that desire. Well, you have a tongue, so this still applies. Nice try. But James is trying to encapsulate this idea of the Christian life because, and we'll get to it later, you're teaching somebody whether you realize it or not. And James is saying, when we do not determine the control of our tongue, it will be in control of us. See, the tool of the teacher is the tongue, but you want someone that is in a leadership role that needs to be in control of their tongue. We all probably been in a situation, a lot of times this is at the workplace. Hopefully it's majority in the workplace and not in church. But you found people in your workplace that aren't necessarily in control of their tongue. They either curse, they cut down, they undermine authority, they undermine you when you're just trying to help them. It might be even be your peer, and they don't talk kindly to you. They don't show any respect. They just cut people down wherever they go. They're always angry, and they just say whatever comes to their mind. It's been known as a short fuse for some, but all of it is just a lack of control of the tongue. excuse me. And it's destructive in everything they do. At least bare minimum, make everybody miserable. Likewise, I know we've all experienced leadership that has controlled their tongue. There's people that have, sometimes even at the workplace. Hopefully this is your situation more oftentimes than not, but it doesn't often fall that way. But a leader that builds up, a leader that teaches, that leader that tries to instruct and help and guide, a leader that tries to push you in a better direction. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." And like I mentioned before, teachers are not just those that teach classes, but rather simply giving somebody the wisdom God has already given you or has revealed to you in God's word. When we find it in the house of God, it's not just the junior church teachers that are teaching or the little kids class that are teaching or Brother Carlos in Sunday school teaching the teens and Pastor Tad teaching Sunday school to the adults, but it's rather when you have the ability to help somebody, instruct somebody that with the wisdom God's already given you. And a lot of times that wisdom is gained through trials. And that's what we talked about with the teens is wisdom gained through trials. And God will bring us through things so that we can help and instruct others. And part of that, though, is that we have to still be in control of our tongue to instruct and help in the right way, not to undermine people or undermine parents or to cut down leadership or people, but rather to build them up. Because God doesn't want us to cut down each other down. And this teaching it will happen in our fellowship times. That's one of the reasons I love fellowship here at Northwest Baptist Church. When we go to when we eat after the service, there's a lot of instructing, encouraging, helping that happens here. There's a lot that we can learn from one another. Each of us and every one of us are gone through different life experiences. God's showing us, brought us through different kinds of trials, given us different kinds of wisdom. Obviously, we all get wisdom from God's word. But what we can pass on to fellow Christians or the next generation might be a little bit different. Brother David Olson has a way different life experience than I do. He's been in the military for many years and saw probably a lot of lessons learned. I grew up playing sports and I'm just out of college, so I just grew up just different. But we each have something God's shown us, and maybe I can encourage Brother David with something he might already know, but it's the tongue that determines that. I've heard it said that wisdom is just biblical common sense. If we want to help those around us, we use words that God has shown us and revealed to us in his word. Because James is going to end this chapter with the difference between heavenly and worldly wisdom. We should all have a desire to teach. Not teach as in, it's not wrong to want a class, we just went over that. But teach as in help somebody along their way. To help instruct and help everybody learn. Because none of us know it all. Brother David, Stevie knows a lot more about IT than I do. Brother Gustavo, you know a lot more about dogs than I do, you know. And there's people that know different things, but God wants to use it just the same and wants us to each invest in each other's lives. And then James continues into verse 2. It says, "For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man." Our tongue will determine our impact. It's just how it is. Our tongue determines our heart. Our heart determines what comes out our tongue, but it just shows what's already there. That's whenever trials and hardship is not make or break our character. Rather, it's like hot water to a tea bag. It reveals what our character already is. And so when God either puts us through a trial or we're having a hard time, our tongue will reveal who you are and how much you can have an impact on the people around you. Because unless it's under control, then it's not going to be used for good. And nobody's here is perfect, but with God's help, we can be in control of our tongue. Because James has used this word before, perfect before, and in chapter 1, like I kind of opened with that, it has the idea of mature. Perfect doesn't mean without fault, but rather a mature Christian. James here is writing and saying, we need to be mature Christians. Whenever we bridle our tongue, when we guard our mouth, when we let God use our words, instead of we trying to do it in our flesh and on our own, we can be marked as a mature Christian. And the closer we are to God, the closer we become like his son. That's what the maturing of the Christian faith is becoming more like his son. Because Jesus is the standard, right? Jesus is what we are to be striving for. And that's what the maturity looks like. That maturity should look more and more like Jesus. But when God has more and more of our mouth and more of our desire in our way of thinking, we can be known as a mature Christian. I'm a Christian that doesn't offend in word. Now, there's always going to be, we're not perfect, like I mentioned. There's going to be a time where you lose it, get upset with somebody. The kid spilled the milk for the third time after you told them to wait for him. And you can get a little frustrated. Maybe that coworker, after you showed them for the 32nd time how to do their job correctly, that they've already been trained on 4 different times, again, break some of the equipment, and you're like, what are you doing? There's going to be times where we're going to be tempted just to not let our tongue be in control of God and be under control. But we can limit and even eliminate the offenses we cause if we would get our tongue under control. But it takes wisdom to use our words properly, and wisdom that only comes from God. And that's how James has been instructing these believers. and it's not going to be all in one go. I wish, don't you guys wish this Christian life would just be all one, like one time, one lesson, and then check it off my box, you know? All right, I got my tongue under control. Don't ever have to worry about that again. Got my anger under control. Don't have to ever worry about that again. Selfishness gone. Pride gone. It's not how it works. We live with the old man. We contend with him day in and day out. But when we continue to make choices to submit to God's rule of our tongue, there will be more and more times where it's under his control, and more will be known as a mature believer. The key factor of consistency in the Christian life is the control of the tongue. Because what we say shows who we are. We can talk about sometimes our favorite sports teams, and we'll talk about it for all day. The World Cup is happening. And Mark Jr. was telling me he was going to go over to Brother Gustavo's house and watch some more of the World Cup. You know, and they were talking, Mark was telling me about some different things. He doesn't know very much about soccer, but he was starting to tell me because he likes learning about new things. And I could tell you hours and hours about basketball. I could tell you, you know, different defenses and all that because it shows what I love. What does your tongue show that you love? Does it love money? Does it love new things? Does it like clothes? Does it love God? Because if we would follow you around for a day and just watch what the words you used, would we ever hear God? Or would we ever see God in your life? Would we see Jesus spoken? And I'm guilty as anybody that I could be doing this more, of making sure that my thoughts and my words that I use to the world around me point others to Jesus Christ. And I think we all could. See, we live in a world that has little care for words at all. We see it in our TV shows where there's cursing is now normal. We see it in the workplace. And we should not, though, be said that the words used for evil are in the church, whether it's lying, cursing, backbiting, and dividing. Just because you might not be in a public place or public speaking does not mean you don't have the opinion that you would like to express. Without control, though, it will do evil. And we'll look at it even tonight as well. I'm trying to preach this message and not preach tonight's message, but it all goes together. So we'll hit similar points that we did this morning tonight as well. But James says it's a fire here in verse 6. And when we don't use our words under God's control, though, because we all have opinions. Some of us have strong opinions about certain things. Some people don't have strong opinions about things. Some people have strong opinions about the Kansas City Chiefs. Some people have strong opinions about the Philadelphia Eagles. And then there's me that I don't care. You know. But there's things in our lives that we have strong opinions about. But we can either submit our thoughts and thinking to God, or we can cut down and hurt others around us. It takes wisdom to use words properly. But dads here this morning, God has given you a leadership role, a position of having a wife and children, and it is heavily dependent on the use of your tongue. Because not only do you decide what your life will look like, but you also have an impact on your children and your wife on how they see the world and how they see in what version of God they see. How you go through difficulty. How you handle stress. How you handle people that are not very agreeable. How you handle somebody that is hurting. They will see and mimic the words that you use. For better or for worse. Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." But the thing is, I know it's Father's Day, but we're not just making an application to fathers alone. Because the Bible has relevancy across ages, all ages and nationalities and genders. Wives, God has not called you to be the leaders of your home, but your words have a lot of influence on your husband and your kids. How your kids see your husband, how your kids respect your husband, how your kids even see authority, how you are, how are you treating each other, husbands and wives? It's all done through words. And sometimes it's easy to be frustrated and upset, but it's because it's easier to be in the flesh than it is in the spirit. And sometimes it's easier to see that, say that cutting word than it is to reconcile and use kindness. And kids, teenagers, words matter for you too. How are you respectful? Because one of the ways you honor your father and mother, like the Bible commands, is how you use your words, how you honor your parents, and sometimes how you honor your parents when they're not even there. Because honoring your parents isn't just obeying what they always say, but rather honoring them for their investment in your life, and that is used through words. How do your friends know your parents? How do your siblings know your parents? It takes wisdom to use words properly. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach into the spirit. Your tongue has an impact on where your life goes, but also has an impact on how other people's lives goes too. We're never in a bubble. It's just how it is. And I've talked about how we converse with each other and what we say about each other, but also this still applies to cursing, to, you know, we shouldn't be named among us, among a believer, that of a foul mouth, of cursing, blaspheming God's name. This should be understood. That should be at least bare minimum. We should understand that here this morning. But I think we need to take it a step further. It's not just are our words curse words or bad words, as maybe we might say, but are they words that are edifying? Are they words that are teaching God's principles to the world around us? Are they your words revealing? They're going to reveal your character, but is it godly character or is it worldly character? We as Christians need to make sure that we are teaching with our mouth to those around us is godliness and not wickedness. Make sure that we are treating each other and kindly and building each other up and not tearing each other down, undermining the authority God has put in our life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, I want to have control over my mouth. But every time I try, it never works well. The thing is, to have control, you must have the one that helps us to do right and to control it inside of you. And that is the Holy Spirit. And that only comes once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And God didn't make it complicated. In Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But those that are saved here this morning, let's make sure we're using our words in the way God has called us. Because when we put our words under his control, our lives will be under control. Because when the way we control our mouths is by letting God have our hearts. And our heart needs to belong to God already because he bought and paid for it. But when you let God control your mouth, you can also have an amazing positive impact. We've talked about a lot of negative, not tearing each other down, not lying, not backbiting, not undermining authority in our lives. But when we also let God have control, he'll prick your heart about who needs encouragement. And your tongue can be used to edify and bring up the believer and to be a help and to someone that might be in a time of storm. And God might guide you that way. And your tongue is a way to do that. Words are seeds. I found this quote that said, words are seeds that do more than blow around. They land in our hearts and not the ground. Be careful what you plant and careful what you say. You may have to eat what you planted one day. Our words have influence on those around us, especially next generation. And just because you might not be a parent or you might not be a teacher, you're having an influence on somebody. You have friends, teenagers, you have friends this morning. And when they come into contact with you and your words are spoken, because you usually don't look at each other and just stare there and sit there for a while, you're usually talking about your favorite things, your hobbies, your sports, the next video game, something. And you will speak. And do your words point others to Christ? Do your words teach others who God is? And it's not just a teen thing, adults. We come in contact with the lost world all the time, whether it's the grocery store, the workplace, the ball field. the practice times? Are our words pointing others to Christ? Are we teaching the world around us who God is? Are we showing God to the world around us? Are we restraining? Are we restraining the words that we want to say? Because that's James's main thrust here, is that we need to bridle our mouth. And we're going to look in verses, like I said, 3 through 8 tonight, and talk about the horse and the ship. But he writes here in verse 2, it says, "For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body." When we let have God have control of our mouth, let have God have the last say, for our last say, if you will, if you let God's words be the last thing out of your mouth, James makes it clear our body will be under subjection. Our actions. So the idea there is our actions. And though the bridle is just a little thing that goes in the horse's mouth, a little metal piece that you can guide and direct the horse, controls the whole horse's body. So as we submit our words to God and we say, "All right, Lord, your words are my words are yours. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to direct? God, help me not lose my temper. Help me not, when I get to work and that one coworker that's there, that's not been doing his job right since the day he's been hired, and I've had to do his job extra, and he's still not paying attention. You know, God, help me control my words." And God, and you know what I'll help you do? Control your actions. Instead of flying off the handle, shouting and screaming at him. Or maybe it's at home. And I don't know anybody's situation here. Honestly, I didn't even have anybody in mind when I started this sermon. It was like, yes, this one person is struggling with their mouth. No. I'm not that good. But God, when God presses this on my heart, you know, it's important for all of us to make sure our mouths are under control. And it might even, unfortunately, be at home for some. And maybe you have to ask God, help me be more respectful. Help me to honor my parents better. Help make sure my words reflect the right actions. And help my actions follow my words. If I say I love my parents, make sure my actions following that I love my parents. Because you just saying you're teenagers, just a side note, you saying you love your parents, but then never obeying what they actually ask you to do, it's just words then. It's not actually obedience. Words without obedience is shallow and meaningless. But whenever you put your words to action, then you're showing your true love for your parents. And that's also goes for all of us. Spouses, don't just say you love your spouse. And then never do anything to show you love them. Now, I'm not saying you have to go buy them a new truck or $1,000 shopping extravaganza, you know. But maybe men buy your wives flowers. You can show them you love them and they say, "Okay, but I also got you flowers." Or take them out to eat. Or tell the kids to go to bed and leave mom alone from driving her crazy all day. Or maybe it's simply just taking the kids to go somewhere so that mom can have peace and quiet. Or maybe, wives, your husband's had a long day and you're like, "You know what? I know exactly what he would like to eat, his favorite meal." You know, because men are simple creatures. Good food, it will solve a multitude of sins at work. But it's all, when our words match up to our actions, they're meaningful. Likewise, when we proclaim the gospel to the world around us, but we live a life that is separate. James says it in verse 10, says, "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." So to be, we shouldn't live a life that is separate. Our actions should match our mouth. But usually the hard time is on the mouth side. It's usually we get frustrated and say things out of anger, or we say things that we're not supposed to, or we lie, you know. Oh, we call them white lies, you know. No, I'm not mad at you. And when deep down you need to get that conflict resolved before it starts into bitterness, you know. All these things are encompassed with words. And we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight, like I've been mentioning. But the question is here this morning, is your tongue under control? Is God have your tongue? Is God honored with your tongue? And maybe we just got to take inventory tonight. Is God the one that's in control of your mouth? You can see by your life whether God is being honored and glorified through your mouth, or is he being dishonored? And I'm not just saying every time you proclaim the gospel, but how do you treat fellow believers? How do you treat your family members? How do you respect authority? It all comes down to what we use our mouth for. If we could all bow our heads and close our eyes and stand to our feet as we just respond to God's word this morning. The pianist will come to play, but don't wait on the pianist. Just whatever God has spoken to your heart about this morning, just respond to him.